Today is Saturday, May 13th. Today, we are talking about hustle culture, how it impacts our work, home life, and overall joy. Whether you work a traditional job, run your own company, or stay at home with the kids, you've probably felt pressure to be as productive as possible to the point of exhaustion. But as our guest today says, when it comes to careers and parenting, you don't have to do things the way they've always been done. Plus, with Mother's Day tomorrow, we'll take some time to talk specifically about the impact on working parents, especially moms. Our guest, Sarah K. Peck, even breaks down what she calls the parenting math. Sarah K. Peck is the founder and CEO of Startup Parent and host of the Startup Parent podcast, featuring women in entrepreneurship, business, and parenting. She also runs a leadership program called the Wise Women's Council that I am part of this year. In our conversation today, she talks about reimagining hustle culture without sacrificing your version of success. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Sarah K. Peck, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to start by talking about the ideas of, you know, busy as a badge of honor, hustle culture, that feeling that I think a lot of us feel that we have to be productive all the time, Instagram worthy all the time. So first, how prevalent do you think those things still are in today's workplaces and parenting cultures? And then my follow-up question to that is, what have you seen in terms of the impact of these pressures on people?
Hustle culture, it's baked in. It comes from our Protestant work ethic. It's the idea that you need to work harder in order to get more success. There's no story out there of like, maybe if you work less, you'll have more success. And I really see it as a culture that's almost terrified of rest.
And so what's the impact of that?
I mean, I'm seeing people everywhere, parents, founders, business leaders, people are chronically sleep deprived. They are navigating burnout. So you'll see people just be complete zombies. We see quiet quitting. We see folks just barely struggling to survive. And that means you don't actually have time to enjoy the things that you're doing. You feel completely overwhelmed. You feel a loss of friendship, a loss of joy. Like it's not a fun existence to be burned out like that.
I'm guessing that when you said the idea of being successful by working less, people's response, well, that's impossible.
Yeah, it is. It's a complicated thing to get your mind around. And I think one of the things that we're conflating, one of the things that I see is people look at strategy and they look at productivity and they think they're the same thing. So you go into a workplace and you see everybody trying to be super, super productive and they think doing more, harder, faster, better is a path to success. But what they've actually done is they haven't defined success. They haven't defined what's our strategy, what's enough, where are we going and why are we going there? And those are really, really hard questions to answer, in my opinion. It's a lot easier to say, you know what, let's just do what we're doing and let's do more of it. But taking a step back and saying, what are we doing and what's our enough number? That's a harder question, but I think it is a magical question that can get you closer to what you want.
And that sounds like part of a solution. So what do you say to people who say, well, help me, how do I get out of this hustle culture?
It's simple. All you have to do is know what you want. I'm joking a little bit. I think that defining what you want is really hard to do. It takes a bit of introspection. Ironically, it takes a little bit of rest. It takes stepping away and saying, okay, let me get off this hamster wheel. What is it that I want? And how do I know? How do I really know what I want? I think it takes turning inwards, tuning inwards a little bit and listening to yourself, which for a lot of people can be a harder practice because we aren't taught to do that. We're taught to look externally for the A's, you know, in school, for the money, for the metrics, for the external sources of validation, and really tuning inwards and listening and saying, wait a second, do I even like this? Is this what I want? Or do I want to, you know, run my feet through the grass and go to the pool for 30 minutes and actually do something else with my time?
Such a good point. And I think everyone can relate to it. But I want to point out specifically moms, because I think a lot of response from moms is, I don't have time for that. My kids need me. Work needs me. And you're just pulled in so many different directions. So how do you tell moms specifically, especially with Mother's Day coming up, to embrace what you just talked about?
being a mom is one part of your individuality and your identity, but it's not everything. It's not the entirety of who you are. But we live in a culture where we kind of put this idea of mom on a pedestal. You're a super mom. You're amazing. You should do everything for your children. But if we get this identity wrapped up into who we are and we think, well, I'm supposed to be a mom and I'm supposed to do this all the time, then what happens is we're on this pursuit of busyness because you really can never stop being a mother. And I think it's so complicated to say out loud, but therein lies the trap, right? You really can never put it down. And so at some point you do have to decide when is enough. And so that reconciliation, I'll speak from my experience. I won't globalize to all the moms out there, but for me, I've had to unlearn all of the schooling that says, like, you have to get an A in every single class. You have to be a perfect student. You, like, it's not good enough to have, you know, A minuses, get A pluses. And I've had to rewire myself and really say, actually, it's okay for me to be a mediocre mom in many different areas. Like, the kid can have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every single day that's store-bought on crappy bread, and he will be okay. Like, he's going to be just fine, and I don't need to go to the end of my life being like, I did it. I made all those lunches perfectly.
And on the flip side, you are making time for the things that bring you joy.
Yes, and to be more selfish in the appropriate way, to say, like, hey, like, my dear kiddo, my darling kiddo, I love you. You love video games. Why don't you go knock back and have some video games for an hour, and I am going to sit on the couch and, like, fart around because I like watching Instagram. Like, we're both going to sit here and do this stuff. Or I'm going to talk to some friends because, frankly, they're more interesting for me to talk to than you right now. And it's okay for me to say that. It's okay. I won't say that directly to my kid. I won't be like, you bore me to tears. But to my friends, I'm going to be like, I need some adult stimulation because I am a complicated person that wants to do more than just talk to a four-year-old.
And that brings me to something you've written about that I thought was really interesting, which is the parenting math, where you actually do the math. And this was in response to hearing people say, you know, if you don't want to spend time with your kids, then why did you have them? So tell me about why you wrote this article, and then a little bit, at least, about the actual parenting math that you found.
There's nowhere else in society where we judge and shame people so much for not doing something every single waking hour of every single minute. Like Michael Phelps, you know, super, super duper swimmer, pick your favorite athlete. You know what they do more than training? Sleep. Every athlete in the world that's like this masterful performer, they actually sleep more than they train. But in motherhood specifically, it's like, oh, you're not with your kids right now? What's wrong with you? You're not a good mom. And it's like, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. And so I love math. And I looked at it. I was like, okay, there's 168 hours in every single week. And if I put my child into daycare for 40 hours, call 50 hours a week, 50 hours a week, that's still 118 hours of my week that I'm with my child. Like, we're good. So I'm a huge fan of daycare. I'm a huge fan of getting support and help. And if you're thinking to yourself, and this is the math that I did in this piece that kind of went viral. If you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but they sleep a lot. Yeah, they do. And they don't. You're still with them overnight. You're putting pajamas on them. You're nursing them if you're feeding them as young children. You see them on a weekend. The weekend is 63 hours long. And if you spend 60 to 90 hours a week with your kids, taking care of them, providing a service. In many places in this economy, people would call that a full-time job, and you would be celebrated for doing that.
Still ahead, Sarah K. Peck shares some critical advice for how to design a work schedule that works best for you, even if you're not sure your boss would accept it. Plus, her thoughts on the challenges both women and men face when they become parents. But first, a quick break for our sponsors. Michael Jackson was one of the most influential pop stars of all time, but his legacy is tainted by accusations of sexual abuse. Since his death in 2009, the world has struggled with how Michael Jackson should be remembered. As an eccentric cultural icon, a global humanitarian, or a monster? In their new podcast, Think Twice, Michael Jackson, journalists Leon Nafok and Jay Smooth delve into the complicated and unresolved legacy of the King of Pop. Through dozens of original interviews with people who watched his story unfold up close, Think Twice reveals a new perspective on his artistry, his controversies, and how we should remember him. Follow Think Twice, Michael Jackson on Audible or the Amazon Music app. Also, thanks to our sponsor, Rothy's. It's that time of year that you might be thinking about spring cleaning. As part of that, I always like to go through my closet and donate a bunch of stuff I don't wear and refresh my wardrobe. Well, that said, I noticed that my Rothy's shoes always go in the keep pile, season after season, year after year, because they have a timeless style, they are super comfortable right out of the box, and they're high quality and durable, so they still look great after many wears. They're even machine washable. I love that I can feel good about buying more and upgrading my wardrobe when I get Rothy's shoes or bags because they're always made in a sustainable way. I love knowing that I'm supporting a company that has repurposed 158 million single-use plastic bottles and counting. Well, I'm also getting a new pair of favorite shoes that I know will be something I'll want to wear for a long time. In fact, Rothy's original slip-on sneaker won Best Slip-on Sneaker from Self Magazine's 2022 Sneaker Awards. So for stylish and sustainable shoes, shop Rothy's. Get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to our conversation. Why do you think society is still kind of shaming and guilting working moms when federal data shows nearly 3/4 of mothers with young children or teenagers also have paying jobs?
Even the divide between stay-at-home moms and working moms is a myth, because actually the stay-at-home mom is going to be a working mom later in life, and the working mom is going to be a stay-at-home later in life. So every single mom out there is a working mom at some point. The percentage of people that are a stay-at-home mom for their entire existence in life is like 1%. So our world, the world of work that we live in, is full of parents who are working. It's full of families that are single head of households. There's single moms out there. It's a complicated amalgamation of all different family types. And yet the work world that we've inherited is this like isolated fragment from the 1950s that we somehow think that we need to be frozen in time and work 9 to 5, show up in an office, do work in a certain way, look like a man, go golfing on the weekends, and have a wife at home. Well, no one has that in this world that we're living in, so we're all kind of miserable.
And on the flip side, motherhood isn't always respected as real work in our society.
Correct. And motherhoods face severe documented penalties, so they get discriminated against. So if you are a woman, people are going to assume that you're going to get pregnant. So they're going to put you on the mommy track, and they're not going to think about you for promotions because we have these fixed ideas about they're going to want to become a mom and drop out of the workforce. On the flip side, dads, they get paid more. They get a fatherhood bonus because it's like, oh, you've got to make the money for the family. But then men, they don't get paid parental leave. They're expected to be back in the office within a week, which is horrible because 83% of dads surveyed want to be able to take leave. Like the dads we have today, the millennial dads, the Gen Xers, the younger generations, they all want to be home. They want to be able to spend time with their kids. And yet they're also subject to all the sexism around like, wait a second, I only get 5 days of leave. Like I'm not allowed to be home and bond with my kid. Like, what am I doing?
So what's your advice for people to, one, tune out some of these societal pressures and expectations, and two, design a life that works for them?
All of these fabricated power struggles between, let's say, the people who have kids and then are away from work and the people who don't have kids and then feel really resentful of all the extra work that they have to do. This is a missed opportunity because we're actually in this together. That's my fundamental foundational belief. It's like, no, you shouldn't be taking on more work because I'm leaving. We should be hiring extra folks for the company so that we can manage this all together. And so what do you do? First, remember that you're not alone. Second, remember that you're on the same team. And third, if you have any itch or inkling inside, this is how I know that something is wrong. When I start to get twitchy or bothered or irritated, that's my internal compass telling me, wait a second, something's not right here. And so if I have the beginnings of anger or frustration or irritation at 6 p.m. at night because I stayed too late at work, it's more than likely true that 4 p.m. was the natural cutoff time and that there are other people out there that also want to be able to leave work at 4 p.m. And it doesn't mean they want to work less hard. It doesn't mean that they don't want to be involved or engaged. It just means they want to shift and be more dynamic with the system and create a better way of working.
I want to give some examples of how people are kind of designing their life and still getting the things done that they need to get done. I don't know if you can share a little bit more about how you do it and or give us a couple examples of entrepreneurs that you've worked with that are doing it in a different way than the norm.
I remember one person I interviewed, her name is Shama Hyder, and she's the CEO and founder of Zen Media, and she's a night owl. She loves staying up late. She used to work from like 11 p.m. until like 4 a.m. And she'd go to sleep like in the wee hour of the morning and then sleep until 11 or noon. Then she got pregnant. She's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to shift my schedule. I'm going to be a morning person now. And she said for about 4 months, she tried to wake up at 5:30 or 6:30, and she just hated every minute of it. So she said, wait a second, how do I get the schedule that I want? She hired a nanny to come at like 5:30 in the morning, gave them the keys to her house. They come in, they take care of the baby until like noon. She starts her parenting at 12. She parents until like 8 p.m., puts the baby down, and then she starts her work day in the evenings. And she says she gets some work done in the nap time, but she loves working overnight. So she kept that schedule after having a kid. And I just thought that was genius.
We can acknowledge that in a lot of these circumstances, there's some privilege that comes that you have the money to hire a nanny and all of those things. But I like the idea that if you can get creative and figure out what works for you, it doesn't have to look like everybody else.
That's right. I think there's a lot more flexibility in the work world if you take a little bit of gumption and a little bit of elbowing it out. And what's that phrase? Like, ask for forgiveness, not permission. I coach and work with a lot of people to, you know, let's say that your favorite yoga class is at 9 a.m. and you want to go later. I know, again, lots of privilege to go to a 9 a.m. yoga class. Or you just want to be with your kid until 10 a.m. in the morning. Just tell people you have an obligation. You don't have to explain anything to them. Say, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I've got a class, I'm doing this thing, I've got a prior engagement, and I'm going to start my workday at 11 on those days, and I can stay till 7. How does that sound? Right? And just kind of assert yourself and say what you're doing. And I have done this so many different times in so many different career paths. I've had 40 or 50 different jobs now. I had 30 jobs by the time I was 25. I've been through every single industry that there is. And what I find time and time again is if the first person steps up and asserts themselves, other people actually want it too.
Is there any final thought or final takeaway that you want to share?
We don't have to do things the way they've always been done. I think humans are inherently creative. I think the world of work is very boring and uninteresting right now. I think there's so much more creativity that we can bring to it. And so if you have just like an inkling or an itch or an idea, try it and see. Try a little tiny experiment every single day, and you can maybe change the world of work.
Well, thank you so much to Sarah K. Peck for joining us here on The Newsworthy. Be sure to check out the Startup Parent podcast and all that Sarah does over at startupparent.com. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to share it with a friend or family member this weekend. We so appreciate that. And stay tuned to The Newsworthy this weekend because we have a bonus episode coming your way in honor of Mother's Day and Mental Health Awareness Month. A special mindfulness meditation drops tomorrow morning. And then on Monday, tune in for our next regular episode. Our weekday roundups feature the day's news in just about 10 minutes. So we'll be back tomorrow, then on Monday. For now, have a great weekend and happy Mother's Day.